So, dear listeners, an insight into the way that the Cube critics' minds work. I turned to Stephanie and I said, Stephanie, we don't have a subject for this week's podcast. And I don't think she even said anything. She just kind of grimaced and walked away, came back 2 hours later and said, Canada, and then walked away again. So
That's how the sausage is made.
If there's a screen, a movie, and a chance to talk, you know he'll be there. It's the Cube Critics.
Why Canada? What sparks your...
You know, I don't know. It's just maybe I looked outside and looked gray and windy, and I thought, Canada. That's it. Nothing more.
Okay.
All right. So what are you going to recommend?
We should say that the Canadian film industry has produced just some amazing movies over the years. And part of it is because of the National Film Board of Canada,
mm-hmm,
and the excellence, the spirit of excellence which has been engendered in that organization, encouraging, you know, primarily documentary films early on and then going on just to tell the Canadian story and really the story of the human race.
Yeah,
it's really quite extraordinary. They
subsidized French language films out of Quebec. And just recently, in the past year, I think it is, they've pushed to have 50% of the films made, 50% of the films made in Canada to be helmed by women, and which they have the power to do because they have the power of the purse. And so Pierre Trudeau, that would have been funny, Pierre Trudeau,
yeah.
Justin Trudeau, his son, said, you know, the film board pushed them toward this, and so that we're going to have more women filmmakers coming out of Canada, which will mean more women filmmakers.
Yeah.
All right.
Good. So,
go Canada. What do you want to talk about?
I'm going to jump back to 1985 and My American Cousin.
What's My American Cousin?
You haven't seen My American Cousin?
No, I don't think I have. I've seen Cousin Cuisine, which was remade into Cousin Cousin that was set in Canada. No, that one? All right.
This is that kind of archetypal kind of coming-of-age story about a 12-year-old girl who's living out in the provinces and her in Canada, and her life changes one summer where her cousin from America, this very handsome, slightly older kid, is sent up from the U.S. for reasons that are not entirely clear.
Okay.
And so it's the early 60s, and here comes this model of sophistication, this American teenager, to spend the summer with this young woman. This was made by a director called Sandy Wilson, who made a number of Canadian movies,
mm-hmm,
and stars Margaret Langerich and John Wildman. And it is just utterly charming. It is a new twist on that, the coming-of-age story of this girl who really thinks that this young man can do no wrong. And then, of course, he does. And it turns out that, as often happens, she is probably the more mature of the two of them. But they have these marvelous adventures together. And it just kind of leaves you feeling that while the world is not a perfect place, perhaps there is hope. And there are some days when that's all you can really want from a movie.
But oh, right.
My American Cousin from 1985. If you haven't seen it, you should.
I have not. I'm very excited about that. Nice recommendation. Fast Runner, 2002.
Oh, yes.
It is such a great movie. This is directed by Zacharias Kanuk, and it is set among the indigenous tribes of Canada, up way up north. And it's a story about a tribe who get visited by a shaman, and then years later, there are two brothers, the strong one and the fast runner, and things go violently wrong, and a cycle of revenge is begun. My favorite thing, revenge.
Yes.
So while it's a gripping story of revenge, which I always love, I always want to get revenge, you know that, it's also beautifully shot. It's a great adventure, and it's incredible to watch this film that is made in the very, very frozen northern climes of Canada. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
The light in it is beautiful.
Oh, yes, it is a gorgeous film. And also quite horrifying. I mean, I remember seeing this when it first came out, and we were sent a DVD because it was a screener.
Really?
This is before, yes, I got a DVD of it.
2002, huh?
And maybe it was even a VCR. I can't remember. But we got it, and it arrived in the middle of a turgid, dank Minnesota summer where it was 95 degrees and like 98% humidity. And we sat in our basement and watched this marvelous film of people freezing. And it was just so utterly, utterly marvelous. It's terrifying, too, because without giving away too much, a lot of the film involves a young man who is completely naked running across the ice. And if that doesn't scare the bejabbers out of you, then you're not human.
Yeah. What a great movie.
Yeah.
Super powerful. Actually, well, that's one of my favorite movies of this millennium, without a doubt.
I saw it again recently.
Oh, did you? How is it these days? I haven't seen it in about 5 years.
It was still gripping. I think I saw it last summer? Yeah, last year.
Was it a turgid summer?
No. I actually was watching it.
As you said.
I was watching it on an island off the west coast of Scotland.
Oh, jeez. Bragging about the island again.
It was on a DVD powered by a generator that could only be on for an hour a day so the gas wouldn't run out. And we sat and were mesmerized by it. It is a truly wonderful film.
Well, it's a great place to see it. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
No ice there.
Wish
though.
I were on an island. All right. What's your number two?
Now, this may or may not be cheating.
No.
I think it's primarily Canadian.
There's so many Canadian movies. You could have chosen one definitely Canadian. What did you choose?
Goon.
That's Canadian enough.
Yeah. And this is a movie about an ice hockey player who, through various developments in his life, becomes a goon. He is the enforcer on a minor league hockey team playing out in the boonies in Canada. Mm-hmm. And it stars Sean William Scott, who in kind of a serious role, and various other people, but Liev Schreiber, too.
Oh, I love him.
And the thing that I liked about this film was that we have... it was actually compared a lot to Slapshot when it came out. But it's a lot more serious than Slapshot.
Slapshot isn't really serious at all.
It's not serious. Although
you really can't say she's serious.
But Slapshot gives a lot of time to the violence in hockey. Mm-hmm. And this one really gives a lot of time to the violence in hockey and what this does to the men who end up in these roles. And these two guys are, they're smart. They understand what's going on and they realize what their role is as they have to go around basically creaming people and occasionally getting creamed themselves and wondering what this is going to do to them, both physically but also psychologically. And this is all happening for the entertainment of people in relatively small towns out in the backwoods of Canada. And it's just a really thought-provoking film. It didn't attract a whole lot of attention at the time. And when it did, it was poorly compared with Slapshot. Because it's not very funny.
Yeah, it's kind of unfair to compare to Slapshot.
But I suppose that's part of human nature because...
Yeah. You just think of Lusk. Well, how did it compare to the Mighty Ducks?
Does anything compare to the Mighty Ducks? Actually, there's a lot of things that compare to the Mighty Ducks, but no, this is in a literally different league.
Okay.
But anyway.
Black Field, which I've talked about before, but I want people to see it.
Okay.
It's directed by Danica Esterhazy, and she also wrote it. And it is a period piece set on the windswept prairies in Canada. There's a lot of and two sisters are fending for themselves, and they're young adults. And then a stranger arrives, and they kind of need help around the farm, and so with some stuff. And so he he starts working out, and he comes between the sisters. And it is dark. It is scary. It is beautiful. And it's you don't quite know what's going to be happening next. It's not about the fortitude of the people on the prairie. It's more of got a little bit of a gothic horror to it. And just fantastic movie. And I don't know why I didn't get more attention. It's about, from about 4 years ago. And I don't know why this director, Danica Esterhazy, after making this, wouldn't be tapped to make more movies or do something else. Maybe she just wants to be writing and directing her own smaller films. She's got a new one coming out this year, finally, but it's been like 4 or 5 years. I'm looking forward to seeing her new film. Mm-hmm. I really love Blackfield. It's up on, you can find it on Netflix. It's just one of these movies that you start watching and you think, why haven't more people seen this? And why wasn't she acclaimed as a new auteur? Because it's that powerful of a film.
Wow.
Powerfully with powerful images and great acting like that she's gotten from the performers, and a really gripping story.
Mm-hmm.
Blackfield.
Along the same lines, do you think people have seen Slings and Arrows?
I think they have, haven't they? If they haven't, they should.
Yeah.
I don't know why they shouldn't, since it's one of the greatest TV shows ever made.
Yeah, and it's Canadian.
Mm-hmm, it is. But let's stop now, because you've already mentioned four things.
And
we've bored people enough. We've gone on too long. We're boring today.
But if you haven't seen Slings and Arrows,
Blackfield,
see Slings and Arrows.
And Fast Runner.
My American Cousin.
And Goon. Thank you.
You're welcome.